Thank you, Mr. President. I will speak in English for this part. First, I would like to thank the three panelists for their for sharing their personal views on today's topic. I actually have three comments or questions for each of them. It may or may not require response, but I would welcome any response if there is any. The first is a comment for Mr. Hans Christensen. It's more of a comment, because I think it's more or less in the same line of what our Egyptian colleague also said. I noticed in your PPT, your presentation, you cited some benefits. One of them is, benefits of the nuclear transparency measures. One of the benefits is to inform adversaries. I would say that if we use the word benefits, it's more from the perspective of those who have nuclear weapons and who intend to use nuclear weapons. So in that case, I would suggest if we use frighten adversaries or intimidate adversaries or even blackmail adversaries, that would be more accurate. So following that comment, I would ask if you have any response that's along this line. What would be the benefit of this point for the vast international community and for the nuclear disarmament process as a whole? This is the first comment, and of course it's also a question. The second comment is for Mr. Andriy Baklitsky. Sorry if I pronounce your name not correctly. And thank you for your presentation. I especially agree with your ideas about the relationship between nuclear transparency measures and the different nuclear countries' nuclear policies, doctrines, of course, the size of arsenals, and there is no one-size-fits-for-all nuclear transparency measures. That's the point I especially agree with. At the beginning of your presentation, you also cited the expression deterrence. I would say that the word deterrence, you may have a quite different interpretation in different cultural context. Of course, we also say in real life the deterrence or the scope of deterrence vary a lot. You could say a deterrence that is intended to deter nuclear attack. So actually it's to deter the use of nuclear weapons. That is the basic logic of deterrence. You have also seen those deterrence, if I do not characterize as intransparent, at least they are ambiguous. So their target could be anyone who don't have nuclear weapons and who don't belong to a single military alliance with nuclear weapon state. So my question is, how do you assess the different effects of those different so-called deterrents? My third question is for Ms. Henrietta Wilson. I think I also share the question raised by the distinguished U.S. ambassador. So I also have some doubt about, because you mentioned a lot about the capacity of those NGO groups to conduct open source investigation and to come up with open source intelligence. But of course, we all know that usually, those groups from Western countries would be I would say it would be much stronger in terms of such capability. So how could we, evaluate the intelligence from those sources? Because you know there might be the possibility that those sources might be selective. And another question is about, especially in the context of the fast development of emerging technologies, for example, the AI, you know, the deepfake technologies, how could we reconcile the credibility of those open source intelligence and the possibility that those intelligence or information might be false? Thank you very much.